Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 30th, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about new perspectives on Facebook Libra, Bitcoin versus Libra and data sovereignty. Join the CoinDesk team in Tel Aviv. Zcash developer Electric Coin Co. reveals Q1 financial loss. Bitcoin miners made $14 billion to date securing the network. Scammers target Canadian Bitcoin ATM users with out-of-order sign. Super rich Indians choose Bitcoin over altcoins for investment, poll. IBM Maersk Logistics blockchain to be used by Thai Customs Agency. Capital One hacker used stolen computing power to mine crypto. Japan's Coincheck crypto exchange reduces leverage by 20%. Top 10 cryptocurrencies now trading below 200-day price averages. Billionaire Alan Howard eyes $1 billion crypto fund management venture. Germany's Bitwala launches all-in-one mobile Bitcoin bank app. Binance funds 40 developers to build open-source crypto software. Souls Art Block to offer high-end art using blockchain-based fractional ownership. U.S.-China trade war driving retail investors to Bitcoin, says eToro. UN official, crypto makes policing child trafficking exceptionally difficult. Bitcoin price faces third monthly loss of 2019. Now let's get started. New perspectives on Facebook Libra, Bitcoin versus Libra and data sovereignty. The papers has been closely following how the Facebook Libra story is unwrapping, and it wasn't surprising to find out that there are so many different perspectives on the story. The main topic, theme, analyses that dominates the space is the regulators and government's stance against this project. Libra would hand over much of the control of monetary policy from central banks to these private companies, or how Libra will comply with privacy laws and expectations in multiple jurisdictions around the world are just a few of the arguments against it. Focusing more on the payments part, some experts are trying to analyze the financial infrastructure Facebook aims to achieve. Some conclusions suggest that Facebook's new cryptocurrency Libra is not merely about transactions, it's also about trust to a certain extent, and mainly about world dominance. In today's post, we will try to explore these perspectives. For an introduction on Facebook's Libra, you can read our 7 things you need to know about Facebook Libra. Virtual currencies disrupted. A virtual currency is a digital asset designed to work as a medium of exchange, and even if the term is relatively new, the concept behind it has been here forever, taking different forms, e.g. with gift cards like iTunes or Starbucks cards, or if you fly around the country your miles are a virtual currency, or how in many countries your prepaid minutes on your cellular carrier act as a virtual currency, etc. Sometimes virtual currencies are associated with Bitcoin. However, the creation of Bitcoin is a bit different, as it is not managed only by a group of companies, it is used worldwide, in a transparent way, and it is anonymous. Bitcoin was the beginning of a new wave that we call cryptocurrencies, and there are many of them. For instance, by mid-2015 there were 650 similar cryptocurrencies, whereas today there are over 2,380. Still, only a few have significant value with some community traction. There is more than just Bitcoin. Introducing Libra. Libra is a new upcoming global currency developed by Facebook to solve the many frictions of an underdeveloped or antiquated payments system worldwide. Libra is not Bitcoin or proof-of-work based, it is a permissioned-based network, a little like Ripple, and to some extent Stellar. The Libra coin is based on hard assets, such as a basket of fiat currencies. If you believe what has been said on the Senate hearing on July 17, 2019, the basket will be 50% US dollars, with euros, British pounds, Japanese yen also included in the collateral. This is important to limit the speculations in the future. The price won't vary based on offer and demand but on the value of the currency which is part of the basket, previously mentioned. Let's compare Libra with Bitcoin. Bitcoin from the get-go has been a fully decentralized network. Anyone around the world can not only buy and sell bitcoins, but also be part of the network running it and processing the transactions. Libra is permission-based with a $10 million entry ticket. This will allow reversing transactions if necessary in case of problems. The proof of work and proof of stake is another major difference. We know that the energy requirements and the delay associated with proof of work are not compatible without an additional layer like Lightning that is necessary to render Bitcoin usable for mass payments. No need for proof of stake in the case of Libra, as the network is managed a little like Visa, by entities that make the decision. Bitcoin started as, and it is still, not regulated, as it is difficult to do it realistically. Some countries have banned the exchange of the currency, but most countries prefer to control the entities involved in the transactions, like Coinbase, Robinhood, and so many others. With Libra, the case is different because it is managed by one group of entities collaborating. Each regulator can talk to representatives at the companies, and due to the large pockets of the companies involved, there is a lot to lose if they ignore the rules. I don't consider Bitcoin a consumer payment system. It could be a payment rail for B2B payments, but the technology is not ready for consumers. It is too slow, too complicated for most people, and there is too much speculation around it. Libra, on the other hand, is more adapted to payments and should be very bad for speculators, as the chance of having all the fiat currencies in the basket going down or up at the same time is limited. The coin is created for payment transactions. When looking at the list of participants like Visa, MasterCard, Stripe, PayPal, PayU, etc., we cannot help but notice that these companies know how payments work worldwide. Overall, the currency is not ready for prime time, and a lot remains to be done to develop and find the operating rules of the new currency and scale the platform to do the vision. There are always many obstacles in creating and deploying operating payment systems. Nevertheless, Facebook is one of those rare companies that could make it happen. What is the transactional internet? Basically, it is the internet where trust is less dependent of today's middleman, platform, who lives of collecting and combining data to exert its market position and create trust to deliver great services. As an example of traditional platforms, PayPal manages the risk of chargebacks and fraudulent transactions based on data, while Airbnb enables homeowners to welcome strangers in their property. Data creates trust for parties who do not know each other, but the platform does know each of them. The transactional internet is coined in the 2019 management book Everything Transaction. Transactional internet comes with data sovereignty. In this new environment created, the data is under the control of people and companies through an omnipresent identity and consent infrastructure. This infrastructure follows rules such as, 1. The data is not by default the property of the platform, but users and platforms use the same data and trust infrastructure. 2. It is valid only if the person or entities have agreed to this consent. And 3. In this next generation internet, a platform asks on a regular basis permission to use your data and rewards you for this. As a result, the transactional internet gives the actors on the platforms a more even position vis-vis the platform, so that the benefits of the data become more evenly distributed. By the announcement and publication of Libra, we can imagine this world of the transactional internet in a functional way. On one side, we have individuals and entities having data assets, including money, as tokens living in the Libra infrastructure. On the other, we have the economic actors, e.g. banks, advertisers, insurance, telcos, energy, that use this infrastructure to offer transactional services to their customers. Libra could enable these actors to enter in a transactional relationship with their customers based on the control and usage of their data. Data owners could then restore the often mentioned data benefit balance with the Libra infrastructure. Then there is the governance aspect of Libra. The Libra Association in Geneva is the central governing body. As such, you could state that this is a new middleman, but there is a nuance to this. Being an association, the decision-making can be evenly distributed over its members. It seems that the Libra Association bylaws stipulate this democracy. In addition, the membership is open to parties who fulfill certain criteria. By its launch date, there are 28 parties published. We can expect more to come. So is Libra the transactional internet? Not quite yet, but the foundation is there. It depends fully on how the Libra initiative develops further through the ambitions and vision of the association members. Not to mention the regulators, as the financial aspect of Libra immediately triggered large numbers of regulators worldwide. The announcement of Libra can also be seen in the light of the increasing pressure on centralized data structures. Politicians and regulators clearly think more about breaking up data monopolies and giving users back the control on their data. The European GDPR regulation is an example of this, next to open banking regulations, which we see all over the world. However, data owners today lack an infrastructure to exercise their rights, which starts with data sovereignty. The Libra infrastructure could evolve into the infrastructure for data sovereignty, a distributed global infrastructure for data assets, including financial assets, with a sound governance, balancing all the interests of the various stakeholders, public, private and individual. Mirella Chobanu is a senior editor at the papers and has been actively involved in covering digital payments and related topics, especially in the cryptocurrency, online security and fraud prevention space. She is passionate about finding the latest news on data breaches, machine learning, digital identity, blockchain, and she is an active advocate of the need to keep our online data presence protected. Mirella has a bachelor degree in English language and holds a master's degree in marketing. Join the CoinDesk team in Tel Aviv. Some members of the CoinDesk team will be holding an ONTAP event in Tel Aviv on September 12th and we'd love to see you there. You'll be able to join Lee Kuhn and Daniel Kuhn at Drama Tel Aviv from 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. The goal is to meet some cool people in the ecosystem and possibly line up some interviews with great thinkers and startups. Please RSVP below. Space is limited to 80 people, so act fast. The event is during Blockchain Week, so expect to see some notables from around the world, and we're looking forward to having a free beer or two with you all by the seaside. There is no agenda outside of networking and meeting the reporters, so bring your business cards. Zcash developer Electric Coin Co. reveals Q1 financial loss. The Electric Coin Company, ECC, the for-profit company that supports the development of the Zcash cryptocurrency, has issued its Q3 transparency report, revealing it has so far avoided layoffs during the bear market despite financial losses. According to the report, the company ran an average monthly deficit of 30% in Q1. The ECC took in $449,000 per month while expenses averaged $635,000. In a July letter, EEC CEO and Zcash co-founder Zuko Wilcox said the company had successfully navigated the bear market, which saw multiple teams cut staff or close up shop entirely. According to the company's profile on LinkedIn, the ECC currently has 19 employees. Launched in 2016 without an initial coin offering, new cryptocurrency created by the protocol has since been divided between miners, the Zcash Foundation, the ECC and certain founders as well as employees. As of today's mining schedule, 80% of the block reward goes toward miners with the remainder dispersed as a founder's reward. At an average of $55 per coin, the ECC made $336,900 per month on block rewards alone in Q1. Expenses hit $525,000 for the company plus another $110,000 per month for employees over the same period. Due to the deficit, the report states the ECC cut costs in numerous non-critical areas like PR, trademark protection and engineering. The ECC also approached founders' reward recipients to reallocate funds for the ECC in June. As mentioned, the report comes a month after Wilcox's open letter to the Zcash community. The development fund is set to run dry in October 2020, which would slash funding for the ECC. In the letter, Wilcox called for a new development fund for the company. The ECC did not respond to questions for comment by press time. Bitcoin miners made $14 billion to date securing the network. All-time revenue for Bitcoin, BTC, miners has topped $14 billion, according to fresh data from Coinmetrics. As Yahoo Finance reported on August 30, despite the massive increase in the network's hash rate, a factor that depresses the profitability of mining, there's still more money in the game for miners than ever before. Bitcoin miner revenue growing exponentially. The report notes that as of the Bitcoin network's inception, it took 8 years for miners' total revenue to break past the $5 billion mark. The next $5 billion were exponentially faster, taking only a further 8 months for revenue to break $10 billion. If current mining profitability remains on track, the $20 billion revenue mark will be broken sometime in early 2020. Solid revenue despite soaring hash rate. The $14 billion figure is all the more impressive given that the network's hash rate has been on a tear for several months now, continuing to break previous records throughout summer with a new all-time high posted just today, at 83.5 THS by press time. A higher hash rate indicates that miners are expending record levels of computational processing power to solve and validate blocks and pocket their rewards. Higher compute intensivity translates into higher operational costs for miners, yet the robust revenue increase indicates this factor has not critically dented profitability. Looking ahead, Bitcoin is under a year away from its next halving, a pre-coded 50% reduction of block rewards for miners, which is slated for May 2020. While the halving can have bullish implications for a cryptocurrency's price by increasing scarcity, its impact on miners is keenly watched, with some concern that lower block rewards will deter network participants and thus adversely impact the network's hashing power. Scammers target Canadian Bitcoin ATM users with out-of-order sign. Fraudsters in Winnipeg, Canada, have targeted Bitcoin ATM users in the city by simply sticking a poster on the machine. Police issued a warning on August 29 that following the instructions on the poster will lead to an irretrievable loss of their Bitcoin. Low-tech hack attack. Even with a digital currency like Bitcoin, security ultimately lies in the hands of the user, and a simple attack can often be the most effective. Scammers in Winnipeg took exactly that tack. They attached a printed notice to the machine. The notice explained that the machine was undergoing a software upgrade. Due to this, users should not deposit their bought coins into their own wallet, but instead use a QR code provided. The posters were found on two of the city's 20 Bitcoin ATMs, but police said that nobody had admitted to falling victim to the scam. Also in Canada, in Fredericton, the capital of the Canadian province of New Brunswick, a restaurant owner was conned by a fraudster pretending to be from the power company. She was told that her latest bill payment had not been received, and that she must deposit some money into a Bitcoin ATM or the power to her restaurant would be cut off. After depositing $1,000 CAD, she was told that the payment hadn't gone through and she needed to deposit another $800 CAD. Police reported a spate of similar calls to local restaurants on Wednesday. A power company representative said that they would never ask a customer to deposit cash into a random Bitcoin ATM under threat of immediate disconnection. Earlier this year, Canadian police were asking for help identifying fraudsters who targeted Bitcoin ATMs with double spend attacks. Super rich Indians choose Bitcoin over altcoins for investment, poll. High net worth individuals (HNIs) in India are more likely to invest in Bitcoin than other cryptocurrencies, according to a new Huru India survey, Financial Express reported on August 30. Digital currencies were the fourth most preferred asset overall, although almost half of the respondents didn't know what cryptocurrencies are. One-tenth of wealthy Indians plan to invest in crypto. Of the Indian HNIs surveyed, around 10% said that they intended to invest in cryptocurrency over the next 3 years. This made digital currency the fourth most favored asset class. Real estate is unsurprisingly the most preferred asset, followed by stock and fixed income assets. However, almost half of those who responded indicated that they didn't know much about virtual currency at all. Those who are knowledgeable prefer Bitcoin. Of the respondents who were aware of cryptocurrency, almost 30% stated a preference to invest in Bitcoin, BTC. A further 9% preferred Ether, ETH, as an investment, with 7% indicating a preference for XRP. The Indian authorities have a tumultuous ongoing relationship with cryptocurrency. As reported by Cointelegraph last week, the Indian Supreme Court has been running out of patience with the central bank. It gave the bank just 2 weeks to justify a ban on servicing crypto businesses that it imposed in July 2018. IBM Maersk Logistics blockchain to be used by Thai Customs Agency. Thailand is integrating IBM and Maersk's blockchain project to streamline its shipment tracking procedures, according to a local news source. The Bangkok Post reported Thursday that the Customs Department of Thailand will adopt TradeLens, the logistics platform jointly supported by IBM and Maersk as part of the country's Thailand 4.0 policy. Thailand will be the second member of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations to use the platform, following Singapore. More than 90 different companies have joined TradeLens since its launch. According to the Post, customs officials in Thailand will receive notifications when shipping containers leave their ports of origin, allowing them to better prepare for arrival. Pattama Shantaruk, Vice President for Indochina Expansion and Managing Director of IBM Thailand, told the Post that integrating blockchain tools will help modernize national and international trade. On TradeLens specifically, she said, TradeLens will provide the Thai Customs Department with an automatic and immutable tracking tool, which will lead to a more secure, transparent, efficient and simpler workflow, with near real-time information sharing from a diverse network of ecosystem members. Increased data transparency may result in more efficient inspections for fraud and forgery, as well as more effective revenue collections, the Post said. The Customs Department opened conversations with TradeLens represents last October, 3 months after the platform launched. It will first be implemented at a Chonburi port, and later in Bangkok, the report said. Thailand joins a number of other national regulators and 15 ocean carrier lines in implementing TradeLens. Capital One hacker used stolen computing power to mine crypto. A federal grand jury indictment of a former Amazon software engineer accused of breaching Capital One's data servers reveals instances of crypto jacking at the heart of her scheme. Between March and July 2019, Paige Thompson accessed at least 30 institution servers managed by an unnamed cloud computing company, compromising at least 100 million customer accounts, according to a release published Wednesday. While there is no indication Thompson attempted to sell this information, she did use stolen computing power to mine cryptocurrencies. According to the indictment, Thompson scanned for and misconfigured vulnerable web firewalls to gain access to rented cloud servers. She would duplicate sensitive buckets of data onto her own server kept at home, and cover her tracks using the anonymizing Tor browser. The object also was to use the access to the customer's servers in other ways for her own benefit, including by using those servers for cryptojacking, wrote prosecuting attorneys Stephen Masada and Andrew Friedman. Thompson reportedly spoke about her fraud over Slack and Twitter DMs. At one point, Thompson, under an alleged pseudonym, posted messages referring to cryptojacking over a Slack channel. I'll be employed again soon and if I had a partner I could have them take over my cryptojacking enterprise and be a stay-at-home, one such message read, according to a report by Forbes staffer Thomas Brewster. Another Slack message read, "For some reason I lost a whole fleet of miners all at the same time, so I think someone is onto me." Law enforcement became aware of Thompson's activity after she shared information on GitHub relating to her theft of information from Capital One's rented servers. The indictment also cites three unnamed victims including a state agency, a telecommunications conglomerate outside the U.S. and a public research university. She faces up to 25 years in prison if found guilty of the charges, which include two counts of wire fraud and computer fraud. Additionally, Thompson is asked to forfeit her ill-gotten gains, or equivalent assets if inaccessible or untraceable. Japan's Coincheck crypto exchange reduces leverage by 20%. Japanese cryptocurrency exchange Coincheck has announced it is reducing the scope of its leveraged trading options to comply with local rules. In a blog post on August 30, officials said they were reducing the size of leverage available for margin traders from 5x to 4x. Coincheck plans October 31 changes. The move has come in direct response to best practices put forward by the Japan Virtual Currency Exchange Association, or JVCEA, the dedicated self-regulatory body for the Japanese exchange industry. The changes should take effect from October 31, the blog post says, Coincheck urging traders to cancel any scheduled margin calls and take certain precautions. Exchange metamorphosis continues. Margin trading, as Cointelegraph has reported, involves a considerable amount of risk, and it has even been suggested the practice can move entire Bitcoin, BTC, market rates. Nonetheless, the option continues to gain popularity, with new offerings hitting the market from players such as fellow exchange Binance this year. Coincheck, which recovered from a giant $530 million hack in January 2018, revealed last week it was considering launching a further spin-off for initial exchange offerings, IEOs. Similar in essence to initial coin offerings or ICOs, an IEO facilitates sales of crowdsale tokens directly by an exchange without the need for a middleman. On Thursday, meanwhile, Japan's financial regulator said it was considering expanding on existing exchange monitoring policies. The plans were reported by local cryptocurrency news outlet, CryptoWatch. Top 10 cryptocurrencies now trading below 200-day price averages. Bitcoin now stands alone in the top 10 cryptocurrencies by market value at CoinMarketCap, with the rest having fallen below a key long-term moving average. The top 10 cryptocurrencies by market value: Ether, ETH, XRP, Bitcoin Cash, BCH, Litecoin, LTC, Binance Coin, BNB, EOS, Bitcoin SV, BSV, and Stellar, XLM, have now all closed firmly beneath their 200-period moving average, MA, on the daily chart. The event marks a period of greater selling momentum, confirming the majority of the bearish mood currently prevailing among investors. Most traders now have their funds locked up in Bitcoin, BTC, as seen by its high dominance rating standing at 69.1%. The majority of the top 10 altcoins had already been trending bearish below the 200-period MA for some time, as early as July, while Bitcoin Cash, BCH, completed the set passing beneath the average on August 28. As it stands, all major top 10 alternative currencies by total market capitalization are now below the key moving average, with traders bracing the possibility for another violent sell-off. The onus is now heavily on the bulls to recoup losses above the 200-period MAs, or risk reverting back to 2018's market trend of significant long-term lower lows and lower highs. Deepening the possibility of a greater drawdown from its recent peak high at $146 on June 22, Litecoin's LTC death cross looms on the daily chart, with the 50-period MA and the 200-period MA flirting for a cross. When the short-term 50-period MA passes below the long-term 200-period MA, it signals a death cross, a reliable predictor of some of the worst bear markets in traditional stocks and crypto alike. The possibility is notable given that Litecoin led the crypto market recovery earlier this year, when traders bought up the crypto asset in anticipation of its reward halving. Still, despite the event that reduced the mining reward from 25 LTC to 12.5 LTC, the world's fifth largest crypto by market value appears to be rallying the markets for another drop. Billionaire Alan Howard eyes $1 billion crypto fund management venture. Elwood Asset Management, owned by British billionaire and Brevan Howard founder Alan Howard, is planning a $1 billion venture into the crypto hedge fund space. The Financial Times, FT, reported on August 30 that the asset manager is developing a platform that would tailor portfolios of cryptocurrency funds for institutional investors. Weeding out the crypto hedge fund space, Elwood Asset Management CEO Bin Ren told the FT that the venture will aim to steer investors towards a selection of vetted crypto funds that have passed robust due diligence so that market participants can avoid the risks associated with the emerging sector. Ren, who formerly served as chief investment officer at Brevan Howard's Systematic Investment Group, said that screening of the sector had resulted in Elwood identifying up to 50 crypto hedge funds as probably satisfy our due diligence. While details of the product remain to be finalized, the new fund could enable investors to determine input factors such as the level of risk they are willing to court, their expectations of returns, as well as liquidity terms. It will also measure the potential correlation of the tailored crypto hedge fund portfolio with the rest of their existing assets. As the FT notes, Elwood's bid to navigate institutional clients through the new investment landscape is informed by a recognition that many crypto investment vehicles still lack the traditional features of the traditional hedge fund industry. Product could eventually have $1 billion AUM. The report cites research jointly conducted by Elwood and Big Four auditor PwC this year that revealed that crypto hedge funds charge an average management fee of 1.72% plus a performance fee of 23.5%, well above the 1.41% 16.6% respective averages for the traditional hedge fund industry. For its services, Elwood will apply its own fee on top of the fees that investors pay to access the underlying funds. I see this as a very big growth opportunity, he told the FT, noting he expects the product could eventually manage over $1 billion in assets. This March, Elwood had indicated it was planning to increase its cryptocurrency offerings as it announced the launch of a blockchain exchange traded fund in partnership with Invesco. Howard himself has a host of crypto investments under his belt, including an EOS developer Block.one and the ICE-owned digital assets platform Bakkt. Germany's Bitwala launches all-in-one mobile Bitcoin bank app. On August 29, German blockchain-based banking startup, Bitwala, announced the launch of its smartphone app for Bitcoin banking on iOS and Android. Customers in over 30 European countries can now open a German bank account with integrated Bitcoin wallet and trading. Open an account directly from within the app in minutes. The onboarding process for new customers has been directly integrated into the app. It uses a video identification feature, with which residents throughout the European Economic Area can verify and open an account within minutes. Bitwala CTO, Benjamin James explains, "Once you have an account, you can seamlessly integrate your daily banking activities whether in Bitcoin or Euro into your everyday life. The account comes with a free debit MasterCard, and Euro deposits up to 100K are covered by the German Deposit Guarantee Scheme. Integrated Bitcoin Wallet and Trading. The integrated Bitcoin wallet works just like conventional online banking. In this respect, it is different from an account at a cryptocurrency exchange as it can be used to manage daily finances. Users can buy and sell Bitcoin directly from their bank account. The wallet has P2P functionality to transfer Bitcoin to friends and family, and transactions can be authorized using biometrics. Private keys are held by the customer at all times." Bitwala CFO, Christoph Iwanias, spoke about account security. "With Bitwala, your Bitcoin are booked directly on the blockchain via a multi-signature wallet. This is another way of saying that hacking Bitwala is as useless as breaking the blockchain itself and that our customers are fully in control of their Bitcoin wallets at all times." Binance funds 40 developers to build open-source crypto software. Malta-based crypto exchange Binance wants to spur greater research in open-source blockchain development. To that end, the exchange unveiled Binance X on Thursday, announcing that it was funding more than 40 developers conducting research into open-source crypto software. Binance X also hopes to facilitate collaboration in the Binance ecosystem by providing resources to projects in various stages of development and tap blockchain evangelists to foster education around the space. For promising developers, Binance X offers a fellowship program focused on research and development of open-source blockchain software. More than 40 project leads have already signed on as Binance X fellows, though the exchange has not revealed how much funding these individuals will receive. Applications are accepted on a rolling basis. The platform is designed to serve as a cryptocurrency-focused counterpart to X Development, the research and development subsidiary of Google parent company Alphabet. In addition to providing financial support, Binance X is also rolling out educational initiatives for developers and the public. The Binance X team will help educate, create opportunities for collaborations and jumpstart growth of these projects via the different programs and resources we have at Binance, Tech Chia, head of Binance X, said in a statement. By leveraging the existing ecosystem including Binance Chain, Binance.com APIs, Trust Wallet SDKs and the Binance Charity Donation Platform Binance X says it will support educational advancement at every level from noobs to seasoned developers. To draw in these noobs, Binance X's sponsored evangelists will host blockchain workshops and reading groups at colleges and similar venues to recruit and educate individuals. Souls ArtBlock to offer high-end art using blockchain-based fractional ownership. A Korean startup will be fractionally selling two works by David Hockney in September. Gangnam, Seoul-based ArtBlock this month acquired Focus Moving, 2018 and Pictured Gathering with Mirror, 2018. It will be issuing 8,500 tokens for the former and 5,000 for the latter and offering the tokens during an event to be held at Lounge K in Gangnam on September 19. Each token will be priced at 9,900 won, $8.18. The tokens will be recorded utilizing Ethereum and will be tradable privately or via a platform for exchange to be set up in Hong Kong early next year. They will not be listed on crypto exchanges as each work will have its own token. Jun Kim, CEO of ArtBlock, says that the idea is to bring high-end works to regular investors and customers. With galleries and auction houses serving the rich and with the middle class only able to buy cheaper works, he saw an opening. ArtBlock will sell high-end art to the public, Kim said. He keyed in on Hockney because the artist is extremely popular in South Korea. An exhibition was held from March through August this year at the Seoul Museum of Art. It was a popular show and well covered in the local press, so much so that Hockney is now almost a household name. His portrait of an artist, Pool with Two Figures, sold for $90 million in 2018, the most ever for a painting by a living artist and 5,000 times the original price. It was so hot, says Kim of the exhibition in Seoul. We can sell fractional ownership to normal people. Kim would not disclose the price he paid for the first two paintings he acquired, but he did say that he was in the market for more works. He is especially interested in paintings by Roy Lichtenstein. This is just the pilot, he says. It's just the first step. Kim has incorporated an entity in Hong Kong ArtBlock Marketplace, but he says that the works themselves will be kept and displayed by galleries in Seoul so that the public and the fractional owners can view them. He mentioned Platform L in Gangnam and Art 247 in Itaewon as possible locations for display. U.S.-China trade war driving retail investors to Bitcoin, says eToro. Financial analysts say a growing number of retail investors are betting on Bitcoin, BTC, as a hedge against macroeconomic turbulence during the protracted United States-China trade war. The London Economic reported the news on August 29, citing data from eToro, a United Kingdom-based multi-asset investment platform and social network. Correlated uptick in Bitcoin, gold positions. eToro's data reveals a correlated uptick of positions in both Bitcoin and gold on its platform following news announcements of escalating trade tensions between the US and China. While gold has long been regarded as a safe haven asset during periods of macroeconomic or geopolitical instability, eToro's data points to a growing perception among investors of Bitcoin as a form of digital gold and store of value in an uncertain global climate. eToro UK analyst Simon Peters has analyzed the data, noting that Bitcoin shares similar characteristics to gold in that there will only ever be a finite amount in existence, 21 million, it's decentralized, its price is not affected by inflation and it has the added benefit over gold of lower storage costs. Peters conceded that several factors still impede mainstream acceptance of Bitcoin as a surefire hedge, noting that its reputation continues to be marred by perceived price volatility, alleged market manipulation, and the prevalence of hacks in the cryptocurrency sector. World markets are reeling. eToro's data corroborates a narrative that has been gaining increasing traction at a time when global financial markets are reeling from unpredictable and arguably unprecedented upheavals in the trade relationship between the two largest economies in the world. Not only the Washington-Beijing showdown, but a host of political risks across the globe from Hong Kong to the United Kingdom and the Middle East are putting investors on a knife edge. As one Japan-based trading advisor told a CNBC reporter earlier today, The talking point is still the U.S. yield curve inversion and whether the U.S. economy heads into a recession. In short, the atmosphere is not so good. Earlier this month, Cointelegraph reported on fresh data from Bloomberg revealing that the correlation between Bitcoin and gold had almost doubled in the past 3 months. Recognition of Bitcoin as a non-sovereign and secure store of value in uncertain times has been voiced across the investment landscape. Analysts are consistently citing macro factors including central banks' dovish policy turn in relation to Bitcoin's bullish trade volumes and price performance this year. UN official, crypto makes policing child trafficking exceptionally difficult. A top United Nations, UN, official said cryptocurrencies are making international efforts to combat terrorist financing, money laundering and cybercrime exceptionally difficult. Neil Walsh, chief of the cybercrime and anti-money laundering arm of the UN's Office on Drugs and Crime, said that the anonymizing and pseudo-anonymizing attributes of cryptocurrencies provide a new layer of secrecy that favors the criminals. When speaking to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's Linda Mottram, specifically, Walsh raised concerns about the role cryptocurrencies play in the clandestine child trafficking industry. In the past, when we looked at some of the really big high-threat areas like kids getting abused online, it had to be paid for, and now, with the use of cryptocurrencies, it's exceptionally difficult for investigators to track that and try and manage that risk down, Walsh said. Walsh said the trade now runs on cryptocurrency, later adding that child abusers are successful when they can create secrecy, adding, "When you add a layer that is encrypted that is anonymous or pseudo-anonymous, then it makes it very difficult for investigators to counter that challenge, and also, it really makes it easier for the bad guys to do what they do, and that creates risks, especially for our children." Further, Walsh said efforts should target crypto exchanges where illicit funds may be washed. Added security protocols would not interfere with the average user, he suggested, as there isn't really a large amount of risk around declaring who you are and that you have an interest in moving value. Walsh highlighted efforts put forward by the Financial Action Task Force (FATF) as one possible way of tracking who might be moving value using cryptocurrencies. In June, FATF, the intergovernmental organization devoted to combating money laundering and terrorism financing, finalized its recommendations on regulating cryptocurrencies for its 37 member countries, including a rule that virtual asset service providers, VASPs, meaning crypto exchanges, enact the so-called travel rule. Under this stipulation, exchanges and wallet providers would be required to have know-your-customer information not only for their own users, but also for the users of wallets or exchange accounts that funds are being sent to. "We're still waiting to see how that plays out," Walsh said, but he added that the UN has brought together policymakers and experts to work on finding the best policy to regulate the space. "We've brought together those policymakers, lawyers, those cryptocurrency experts to try and look what policy might look like in this space, because when we look at some of the really high-risk crime where we see kids, I am talking babies very, very young, 6 months old and younger, who are in pay-per-view live online child sexual abuse streaming websites," Walsh said, adding, "That's getting paid for by cryptocurrencies. We need to have some sort of options. We need to know how we try and challenge that threat and reduce the risks for kids and reduce the opportunities for criminals to get involved. And it's gonna take lots of different brains. It's going to take technologists, policymakers, philosophers, the whole nine yards." Bitcoin price faces third monthly loss of 2019. View: Bitcoin is on track to test $9,000, having dived out of a narrowing price range earlier this week. The cryptocurrency is likely to end August on a negative note, having suffered losses in July and January. BTC may suffer a deeper price drop over the next few months, possibly to the 200-day moving average near $7,400, if prices print a UTC close below $9,049 on Saturday, confirming a bearish reversal on the monthly chart. A minor price bounce, possibly to the August 22 low of $9,755, could be seen before a drop to $9,000, as an hourly chart indicator is reporting bullish conditions. The short-term bearish case would be invalidated if prices find acceptance above $10,280, Wednesday's high, although that looks unlikely. A weekly close, Sunday, UTC, above $12,000 for bullish revival, as discussed earlier this month. Bitcoin, BTC, looks set to register its third monthly loss of the year with a moderate price drop in August. The leading cryptocurrency by market value is currently trading at $9,600, representing a 4.8% drop on the opening price of $10,096 observed on August 1, according to Bitstamp data. If prices remain below $10,096 till Saturday's UTC close, then it would be the third monthly loss of 2019. BTC fell 7.59% and 6.27% in January and July, respectively, as seen in the chart below. Bitcoin's five-month winning run the biggest since August 2017 ended last month. January's 7.59% decline was the sixth consecutive monthly drop, the longest losing streak on record. It is worth noting that the monthly close, Saturday, UTC, is still 37 hours away and the cryptocurrency is currently down just $586 from the monthly opening price of $10,096. In the past, BTC has moved violently by $1,000 or more in a matter of just a few minutes. For instance, prices rose from $9,300 to $10,400 in 30 minutes during the U.S. trading hours on July 18. So, the possibility of BTC finding acceptance above $10,096 before Saturday's UTC close cannot be ruled out. That would amount to a monthly gain. Technical charts, however, indicate the sellers are in control and prices are more likely to end the month with losses. The contracting triangle breakdown seen in the 3-day chart above left indicates a bullish to bearish trend change. The 3-day chart relative strength index (RSI) has also dropped below 50 for the first time since mid-March. A below 50 print indicates bearish market conditions. The Chaikin money flow, which incorporates both prices and trading volumes, has found acceptance below the zero line, a sign of increasing selling pressure. All in all, the path of least resistance appears to be on the downside and the cryptocurrency may drop to the psychological support of $9,000 in the next 24 hours or so. A violation there would expose the ascending 50-candle moving average (MA) support, currently lined up at $8,738. A slide to $9,000, however, could be preceded by a minor price bounce to the former support turned resistance of $9,755 August 22 low, as the RSI on the hourly chart above right has moved into the bullish territory above 50.00. While the hourly RSI has turned bullish, the stacking order of the 50-hour MA, below the 100-hour MA, below the 200-hour MA is a classic bearish signal. So, these averages, currently located at $9,648, $9,932 and $10,048, will likely offer strong resistance. BTC created an inside bar pattern in July, with the monthly high and low of $13,200 and $9,049, respectively, falling within June's trading range of $13,880 to $7,432. Essentially, the inside bar setup represents a narrowing price range characterized by higher lows and lower highs, a sign of an indecisive market or consolidation. A convincing break below the inside bar's low range breakdown is widely considered a sign of bearish reversal. So, July's low of $9,049 is the level to beat for sellers. A monthly close below that level would imply a long-term bullish to bearish trend change and shift risk in favor of a drop to the 200-day moving average (MA), currently at $7,468. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.